first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Thursday edition of Spouting Off here on 1590 AM WSMN. Oh, and don't forget 95.3 FM. We love the FM dial as well. It's Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. There's just too much, but we're going to take a crack at it. If you got something on your mind in this first segment, please, please pick up the phone, call us. If you're hearing us right now live, you know what right now is. It was just a minute ago. 603-816-1590. That's 603-816-1590, which are the call letters of WSMN. And so I was broadcasting on Tuesday when there were some pretty important primaries. I will not go into a long report of what happened. You can probably find out, but I will tell you something you will not find on the propaganda mainstream. We don't call it mainstream anymore. It's legacy media. It's the media that marches in lockstep together. They all get the same memos. And what they won't tell you is that Trump and his endorsements are doing exceptionally well, hugely well, but of course, they downplay it, they ignore it altogether, and they keep shredding Trump 24/7. They've been shredding Trump from the moment Biden stepped into the Oval Office with help. I think he had to be escorted because he didn't know where it was. But they will not fairly report that Trump's power in getting new representatives and senators in Congress, certainly in the primaries, and then we'll see just how much lying, cheating, and stealing go on in the midterms. I don't know, but guess what? We're allowed to ask. And by the way, we have astonishingly good guests this hour. First, we're going to talk to Joel Gilbert. I'm sure you've seen and heard him. He's a filmmaker, and he's done some fascinating films you may have seen. Then we're going to talk to Dick Morris. I don't think he needs any introduction. He's got a new book out, so we'll talk to him about what he's been writing about lately. But it turns out, just to put a fine point on the primaries, that there will be at least, at the most, 3 out of 10 pro-impeachment Republicans remaining in the House in 2023. They're all getting primaried out, including Liz Cheney, who CNN simply cannot find anywhere in Wyoming a pro-Liz Cheney voter, much as they've tried. And the videos are really pretty funny. You should watch it on YouTube. Tremendously funny videos. So he's doing very well, and they're going to try their very best to tell you that he is evil, terrible, rotten, horrible, and all the things that they are. I was listening to the news, as I love to do. Mike Pence, who crawled out from under a rock and is suddenly trying to build support, I predict the only reason a politician does what he's doing is because he wants to challenge Donald Trump for the presidency. And I ask you, where is his support going to come from? Can you tell me that? Call me, 603-816-1590. If you're a lover of Mike Pence, who stabbed Donald Trump in the back. I just got through telling you Donald Trump still has a phenomenally powerful political footprint, no matter how much. Well, that's why the left keeps going after him. with both barrels, with paper shredder in hand. There's just no end to the hatred and vitriol that goes Trump's way. I don't put Donald Trump on a pedestal, but I do like to point out the real reason they hate him. And we got to keep saying that. If he wants, in fact, I think he said this in one of his recent speeches, if he had rolled over for the woke, globalist, socialist, Marxist agenda, the insane, child-abusing, liberty-sucking, America-destroying agenda that we are watching right now, suddenly they wouldn't have any problem with him. They would love everything he's ever done. Everything they've accused him of would disappear into thin air. It wouldn't even be an issue. Now, you tell me, what is it they really oppose? Anybody who has watched the framing, the vilifying, the evil, the hostility, because Donald Trump still has principles. That doesn't mean you got to agree with him on everything, but he stood his ground on an America First agenda in ways that the left has clearly illustrated that they haven't, they don't even have an America Last agenda. They have a self-hating, nihilistic, suicidal agenda for America. And frankly, for citizens and anyone who opposes them, it gives me no pleasure to say that, but you got to call them as you see them, right? That's the truth. So don't think for one minute, the last thing we ought to do is trust the motive they tell us as to why they do the horrible, horrific, and immoral things they do. Well, we're just demonizing Donald Trump because he's bad for America. Our democracy is in danger. Crap. Sorry. It's just nonsense. Whenever they tell you they're doing this to protect you, they're doing the opposite. They don't want to protect you. They want... If you can't acknowledge that they have it in for us at this point, I don't know what it's going to take. But I will tell you this. I want to at least give a plug to this video that I saw. I got to call it up on my website. I did not have a time to give it to AC and ask him to play some audio of it. But all you got to do is go to my website. On the very front page under blog, you've got four columns spouting off where most of the podcasts get up on my website. Not all of them. We do a lot around here. Blog, articles, and more radio. So right now on my website is an article that actually it's a Rumble video that you can pull up from my website. And it features, and of course I just erased it because there's too darn many ads on my website. I apologize for that. We're going to fix that. We're going to fix that doggone thing because we don't like so many darn ads that you can't read the content. So we're working on it, believe me. If we have to sell t-shirts, that's what we're going to do. So go to KarenCataline.com. And there is a gentleman, incredibly articulate, and that means it doesn't matter what color he is. He happens to be black, but he's more articulate than most people in general, particularly in the entertainment field. His name is Clifton Duncan. He's sort of a libertarian-leaning, freedom-loving, independent, marches to his own drummer, actor, musician, artist, did Broadway, and he was completely robbed of his career because of the rabid leftist insanity that goes on both in Hollywood and in New York in the entertainment field. All of the crocodile tears that they cried about the McCarthyism has nothing on the kind of McCarthyism that you're watching today. He refused the jab. And for doing so, he lost his whole career. You got to hear him talk about it. He's funny. He's self-effacing. And he says things that are so important. One of the things, and forgive me for not having the audio that I think, well, frankly, I've been saying for a long time, but one of the things that he says is that when he became concerned about what he was being lied about, he's being lied to by people all around. And he also complains about the leftist people in Hollywood and entertainment who know it. They just don't have the courage and the guts to say so. And that bugs him too. But when he finally awakened to the fact that he was being lied to, is something very simple that I've been trying to say in a variety of ways. And that is, when you keep watching again and again and again, that the prescriptions that the same people keep giving you harm rather than help. And they're all done under the guise of, we care about you, we want to protect you. That's always a dead giveaway. And that's the pun, dead giveaway. Everything, even keeping people in, indoors, shutting down their businesses, shutting down their lives, and making them wear a muzzle on their face that blocks their oxygen when they're trying to stay healthy from a virus that attacks the lungs, lying to people that that does anything, and knowing full well that it doesn't do anything, but they still force, cajole, and push people into it anyway. There are people that are still being forced to take the jab just to watch a Broadway show, let alone the people on stage have to be jabbed and triple and quadruple vaxxed. And the question that kept coming up is, why do these supposedly artistic, liberal leftists who have been supposedly marching to their own drummer for so long? I lived in New York for a long time, and I did theater in New York and around the country. And that was the byword. Don't tell me what to do. Certainly don't tell me what to laugh at and to do comedy, or to tell me what I can and cannot say. And yet they're all marching in goose step together. And he speaks to this eloquently. I would love to be able to get him on the air. But go to my website. The whole video can be accessed there. It's wonderful watching. And I comment very briefly, because I just want the video to shine here. And that is, if Clifton Duncan parroted the right politics, we don't mean conservative, but the politics the left wants him to, same exact thing as Donald Trump, same, he'd be the darling of Hollywood and Broadway. But because he's a true individual, he thinks for himself. He's on the receiving end of true bigotry. So the left can whine and complain that there aren't enough Black people winning Oscars, which means you no longer judge people on their performance, which is really what colorblind society is all about. And that's a good thing. I don't care what anybody says. Judge people on their merits and don't make color an issue. That means you're not being bigoted enough to tell people of a certain color that they can't do it because they're victims and they're dumb or they're stupid or whatever is the message, or they're not bright enough to get an ID. How insulting and condescending to Black people or people of any ethnicity that we need to, you know, we need to control and condescend to you because you're just not smart enough to think for yourself and decide for yourself what's true or to live as you see fit. This is such a lie. And Clifton Duncan actually explains in the most beautiful way that people are getting it. It's just that some people don't have as much courage, frankly, as he does. He's developing a whole new career doing podcasts, kind of like JP, who I love also. JP was a stand-up comic. Now he does podcasts. I love JP, the redheaded guy who wears no shirt and a tie, oftentimes a tie with no shirt. He's hilarious, very good at sarcasm, very good at comedy. Nevertheless, that is all that I can say right now, because I got to take a break. Wait till you hear Joel Gilbert. Lots of fun to have him on the air. You're listening to Spouting Off here in the live free or die state, Nashua, New Hampshire, and all across the country. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. You're listening to, you're listening to Spouting Off. I'm Karen Cataline, and I was introduced to this next guest quite some time ago when I still used to live in Colorado, when he did a film about Barack Obama. He also made a wonderful analogy having to do with the Wizard of Oz, which I thought was stellar as well. About there are a lot of very interesting symbolisms in the Wizard of Oz. But now, Joel Gilbert is the author of Michelle Obama 2024, her real life story and plan for power, and director of the documentary Michelle Obama 2024. He's a political commentator, foreign policy analyst based in nowhere else but Los Angeles. Welcome, Joel Gilbert, to Spouting Off.
Hi, great to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you too. Let's dive right in. It seems hard to believe that someone would go out on a limb, and of course, we've got someone following you who's also going out on a limb and making a prediction. Let's talk about why you think Michelle Obama is going to run for president in 2024.
Okay, well, I have this film and book, both of the same name, Michelle Obama 2024. You can get the book on Amazon.com, and the film is on SalemNow.com. And I've been following the Obamas for years. As you mentioned, I made other films about Barack Obama. And I noticed, really starting in 2016, that Michelle Obama was following the exact same formula that Barack did to run for president. Barack had written his autobiography called Dreams from My Father. Of course, he based his candidacy on his personal story. Michelle Obama wrote Becoming, that came out in 2018 and went on this big national book tour with her autobiography. I actually read the autobiography, and it's very much a political document. It's not really a autobiography. She's kind of putting everything in line for a political career. Barack was the keynote speaker for John Kerry at the 2004 Democrat National Convention. The keynote speaker is the slot that they give to the person they think will be the nominee at the next convention. And there was Michelle Obama in 2020 as Joe Biden's keynote speaker. And then lastly, of course, a lot of people don't know that Barack started a voter registration organization back in 1992 called Project Vote in Chicago. And Michelle Obama has her organization called When We All Vote. She was just here in Los Angeles about a month ago and gave a fiery speech, just hitting every Democrat talking point. So I'm just convinced, looking at what Michelle's doing, that she's preparing to run for president. And if you just look at her Twitter account, she's got 100 million followers. She's the most popular Democrat in the country. And she's just all politics all the time.
Hmm. And a lot of people thought that all she wanted to do, I mean, whatever they put on a show about is never really the truth anyway. Let me ask you this. I have argued with people that people say, oh, the greatest insurance that Joe Biden has is Kamala Harris because nobody wants a President Harris. I maintain that the whomevers who are directing this presidency have nothing to do with either one of them. They're in control. Who thinks it would be any different with Michelle Obama? Do you?
Well, Michelle Obama really has never had an original thought. When she gives her speeches, yeah. She just kind of recites whatever Democrat talking points there are. She very much wants to fit in. She wants to show that she belongs. And that's a big part of what's driving her to, I think, to run for president and what drives her to appear on so many magazine covers and talk shows and Netflix shows. She's always trying to be recognized. And I think running for the presidency is the ultimate goal of Michelle Obama.
Hmm. Well, she sure, I mean, it's a very interesting, like I say, going out on a limb. Let's back up a little from a philosophical standpoint, Joel. What we are seeing now with this hyper divisive idea that America is a racist country, blaming and branding all white people as systemically racist from birth, calling five-year-olds racists, they have stepped up. You can't even say double down, quadruple down, decadent down. I mean, and most people, if you remember, and I'd like you to comment on this, most people thought naively that if we elected a black president, we'd be in a post-racial world. And all that really happened is they went off the rails with accusations of racism and want to completely ignore that this country elected a black president twice. But we all know what's really going on. What do you think is really going on? And why doesn't anybody talk about this?
Well, Barack ran for president really as a racial healer. He talked about, my father's a former student from Kenya. My mother's from Kansas. I have this black and white background. I'll bring us all together. But what happened was, because he was not really recognized by the black community as one of them, he needed their support desperately. So a black community never supported Barack in Chicago. He was from Hawaii. He grew up in a white family. He never had any shared experience with lower class blacks or any black people. So once he became president, he kind of became captive to trying to get their support. And it kind of started with the Trayvon Martin case with the George Zimmerman trial, where Barack intervened and said, the first time he said, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon, because they needed something to inflame the black community. The re-election of Barack Obama was not a given conclusion. The economy was very bad. Black people were not supporting him. So that's where it really got going in a big way. And so you saw how Barack appealed to race. He supported Black Lives Matter. He always intervened in things with a racial edge because he wanted to keep the black community upset or engaged. And they've pursued that policy to keep the black community supporting the Democrats in a big way all the way through the George Floyd thing and up to this day.
Joel, you know, what you said piqued my, got my ear when you said he was captive. I mean, I think after this many years, 11 years or whatever it is, past the Obama, when he came on the scene, I think if the current situation has taught us anything, is that he was the Marxist we always thought he was then. It's just that Marxists tend to play the long game. And what they professed to be true 10 years ago, they changed from last Thursday. And suddenly everything that went before it is erased. I'm going to push back a little and say, I don't think he was captive of anything. I think he's got his handlers, the same handlers, telling him what to do when. And he's an ideological Marxist. Is there evidence of that?
Yeah, look, I made a film in 2012 called Dreams from My Real Father, which I'm pretty well known for. And what I did is I looked at the fact that Obama was raised by a Communist Party USA member named Frank Marshall Davis, who was one of the original black Bolsheviks out of Chicago. He was a Soviet agent during the Second World War. And I really presented a mountain of evidence that not only did this guy raise Obama, but it was his actual biological father. He looked just like him and nothing like the Kenyan Obama. So I certainly made the case that Obama was not the traditional candidate that he was claiming to be. He ran on this kind of traditional background, marriages between a man and, you know, man and a woman.
Yes,
and God.
He did say that, didn't you he? Know. Never so, got held accountable for that one, did
yeah,
he?
Yeah, so he kind of he ran right. on kind of a mainstream traditional background, and then yes. he threw the voters under the bus and yes. just pursued this radical agenda that no one voted for. So, but in terms of the ethnic support of the black community, that's something that he exacerbated in order to get black support. Michelle Obama does the same thing. I mean, she chronically tries to manipulate black voters with phony claims of racial discrimination to earn their sympathy and votes. So in my film and book, Michelle Obama 2024, I actually go into a whole life history of Michelle Obama, and I show a very privileged background and a political family. Her father was a precinct captain who worked for the Daily Machine, the Democrat Party machine in Chicago. And I chronicle Michelle's, you know, pretty much ran away from the black community every chance she got for education, for high school, for elementary school. And she openly lies about it. She says, oh, I went to the neighborhood schools, which she did not. She says, my parents couldn't afford private schools. No, her brother. Yeah,
incorrect.
Her brother went to a Catholic school, even though they weren't even Catholic. So the film, I go into her background, and it's nothing like she pretends it is.
It was also kind of interesting. Talk about a cognitive dissonance, a disconnect. And I don't believe that she didn't know what she was doing. Remember the whole brouhaha about how she was a victim of racism, this phenomenally wealthy, privileged woman who lives on Martha's Vineyard and has been handed everything. But she was a victim of racism because somebody asked her to get something down from a top shelf of a grocery store because she's tall. You know what? I'm short. I do that all the time, and I don't care what color they are. If they're tall, I say, excuse me. Not very often do I do that, but that was racist to Michelle Obama.
Well, what Michelle, that's, you're talking about the story where when she was first lady and she kind of, you know, put on some sunglasses and a hat and she went to Target. And the funny thing about that, I covered that in my film and book. Michelle actually told this story to David Letterman on the David Letterman show. And she was just smiling and saying, hey, this woman asked me to get something because I was tall and it was so nice. And I got it for her. And she said, oh, you don't have to make it look so easy. And so Michelle is telling this great story about how much she enjoyed shopping clandestinely.
Yeah.
And then like a year later, she told People magazine it was racial. And that was the same thing.
How
it's the,
about
the
that?
Obama's trying
it evolved.
To, well, she's trying to get black support. It's manipulating black voters. And Michelle, you know, as I go into in the book, she spent her professional career as an executive in Chicago when Michelle herself worked for Mayor Richard Daley. She was the assistant planning commissioner during the period of redevelopment. And that's when they were knocking down the projects. They made 20,000 blacks homeless at Cabrini Green. And gave away the land to Democrat donor developers like Tony Rezko, who gave some of the money back to the politicians. Then when Michelle worked for the University of Chicago Medical Center, she's the one that ran a program called the Southside Health Collaborative. And that program, all it did was prevent the black community from using the emergency room at the University of Chicago hospitals. Michelle actually put them in these vans and dumped them. It was illegal. It's called patient dumping. She actually dumped them at these crappy neighborhood strip mall clinics. So Michelle has a history, a shameful history of selling out the black community in Chicago. But as a politician, to add insult to injury, Michelle pretends to be one of these ordinary black folks that she spent her life exploiting.
Wow. And it's totally in line with the leftist, hard leftist playbook, isn't it? I mean, we don't see any different from this constant race baiting, this constant leftism, BLM, and we're trained Marxists, by the way. They tell you that after, you know, they incite people to burn down Wendy's. Let me go back and ask you real quick. We only have a couple minutes. I want you to get a lot of chance to talk about your book and where you can get it and your film. Did you happen to get hold of, is it her doctor's thesis or her master's thesis that had been sealed and nobody could find it? Did you get
actually,
it?
Yeah, Michelle's Princeton thesis, when she graduated from Princeton, actually became public in 2008. And it got a lot of publicity because it was so racial. And I actually talked to her thesis advisor and sociology professor at length about it. So I give a completely different take on it. It was actually a cry for help. Michelle was, trying to get out of this Afro-American studies program with an A because she wanted to get into Harvard Law. So I do go into that quite a bit in the film and the movie.
She didn't go to Harvard Law, did she?
Yes, she did. Michelle graduated from Harvard Law.
She did. Yeah. All the, and they both gave up their law licenses. Do we know why?
Well, by the way, in the book Becoming, in her autobiography, Michelle does not mention going to Harvard Law. And the reason for that is because she's trying to promote this image of, she calls it South Side Girl. She says, I'm from the South Side of Chicago. That's all you need to know about me. Well, she's not even from the South Side. She grew up in South Shore, which is on Lake Michigan. It's on the east side. It's not even on the south side. So that's part of what she does, is she wants you to think she grew up in a log cabin and overcame all this racism and all these problems, when in fact she had a very privileged childhood.
Yeah. Joel, tell us where people can watch your film, get your book, and then we'll just see what happens with Michelle Obama in 2024.
Yeah, you can get the book version of it. It's Michelle Obama 2024. It's on Amazon.com. You can go to Salem Now, salemnow.com, and you can actually live stream the film or buy the DVD. And you can also go to the main website, which is Michelle Obama 24.com. You can watch the trailer and also link up to these other sites.
Sounds like you're promoting Michelle Obama 24. I am fascinated by this prediction because, you know, I don't even as a commentator make all that many predictions, but when someone does, you know, you could be right, you could be wrong, but this is what you're seeing. So
it's happening. It's happening. So definitely check out the movie and the book.
I should have asked you the most important thing. Give me a quick answer if you can. Okay. How are they going to get Kamala Harris out of the way and Biden out of the way?
They don't need to get them out of the way. They both serve a purpose. They're taking all the heat. If you're mad at Biden or angry at Kamala, you know, you're playing into their hands.
Good
and
point.
And Michelle will run for president. She'll have all the support, all the money. Mm. If those other people can run or not run, doesn't matter.
Good. Joel Gilbert, thank you so much for joining us here on Spouting Off. Get the book or the film, Michelle Obama 24. When we come back, we're going to have another stellar guest. Dick Morris will be joining us on Spouting Off right after this.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle. A battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read the difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
It's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and The Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today, when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. It seems this is our day for predictions, and there's one pundit who's never afraid to make predictions, good, bad, or indifferent. He makes them, and his name is Dick Morris. I don't think anybody needs to know who he is, but I'll give you a little bit, and we have him with us right now. He served as Bill Clinton's political consultant for 20 years, a regular political commentator on Fox News and other networks. He's author of 6 New York Times bestsellers, all with Eileen McGann. And he is now the author of a book called Trump's Big 2024 Comeback. Welcome, Dick Morris, to Spouting Off here on WSMN.
I have 3 corrections. First, the book is actually called The Return. Trump's big comeback in 2024, The Return. Secondly, I've written 10 bestsellers. And thirdly, I'm on Newsmax now all the time. It left Fox about eight years ago.
My apologies. I got an bio. But I was going
sent
to
it
say...
out 4 books ago.
you can get his bio at dickmorris.com. So, yeah. Dick, you're predicting Trump is not only going to run in 2024, which many people think he will, but that are you predicting he's going to win in 2024?
Yes, I am. I wrote a book called Armageddon, How Trump Can Defeat Hillary in 2016. And it was published 6 months before Election Day. And I wrote it 1 year before Election Day when nobody thought Trump could win. And it laid out not just a prediction, but a game plan that Trump followed rather well and indicated how he would win. And now I basically repeated it with the sequel, The Return, How Trump Can Win a Big Comeback in 2024. The basis of my thinking is 4 words that Trump can say, I did it already. That the ability of a challenger to say that back to an incumbent is priceless. when Trump complains about high gas prices and the Democrats say, hey, it's a global phenomenon, we can't do anything about it, he comes back and he says, I did it already. I had $2 gas when I was president. And when he complains about inflation, they say, oh, the inflation is global and there's nothing we can do to stop it. He comes back and says, I achieved prosperity and job growth with no inflation. I sealed the border. I stopped Kim Jong-un from his tests and enhancement his nuclear capacity. I stopped Russia from invading anybody. I did all of these things that now you've undone, and I can do them again. And I think that that's an argument that the other possible Republican candidates, DeSantis and Haley and Pence, can't say. And I think that that's going to be the key to the election.
So I can just hear my listeners asking the question that you probably get asked all the time, but I must ask, and then we're going to just let you fly and go with it. Many are afraid to hope that this could happen, since these Marxist strategists are always 10 steps ahead of us. You're a strategist. What can we do to stop them at this game? because few people, even though they're being told they're not allowed to question the results of the 2020 election, most people know that these people are so ruthless that they will lie, cheat, steal, and do anything they can to subjugate the American people with their goal, their evil goals, frankly, of global Marxism. They got a lot writing on this, and they loathe Donald Trump because he stands in their way. So you're the strategist. You just gave us some. What do we do about the fact that Republicans are always 10 steps behind the Democrats in their cheating strategy?
Well, we get 10 steps ahead, and I think we've got the way to do it. There is a Supreme Court case going on called Moore versus Harper, and the court has agreed to hear it in the fall term, that September, October, which means that four judges, four of the conservatives, voted for the plaintiffs and will probably pick up the other two and win this case. And it says it's a fundamental radical change in the way elections are conducted. It says that in federal races, the Senate or Congress or president, not the states, but the state legislatures shall decide the places, times, and manner of the elections. And that means that the governors can't veto it. We have three states that have passed really good election reform laws, and they can't be cheating in those states, Florida, Georgia, and Arizona. And it provides no drop boxes, photo ID at every step of the game, no ballot harvesting, no ballot stuffing, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But there are five states where the legislature has passed it, but the governor has vetoed it. And those are the big states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and North Carolina. And the Moore v. Harper decision strips the governors of their veto power over a bill affecting federal elections. They can still do state elections, but they cannot do federal elections. And the courts, the state courts, the bill, the ruling will say, have no jurisdiction over federal elections. So these elections are going to be conducted under very different and very good, very clean rules. And in addition to that, we have a very good chance of winning the governorship in Pennsylvania, where they appoint the Secretary of State. And our candidates for Secretary of State in Michigan and Arizona are well ahead. And I think we'll pick up all three. And the core of the Democratic fraud in 2020, and the election was stolen. I know you're not allowed to say it, but it was.
They call I'm glad you're saying it. And we're allowed to think it and question it. Yes.
They call us election deniers. I call them fraud deniers.
Right.
But the,
good
the
for
way
you.
They did it, the way they did it was in 2018, they elected Democratic secretaries of state in Michigan and Arizona and got one appointed in Pennsylvania,
with
toppling
the
Republicans.
Soros.
And
right.
Because the secretaries of state controlled the voting, they implemented the fraudulent procedures. And now we're likely to win those posts back and to get more decision. And I think that's going to solve our problem.
Oh, God, from your mouth to God's ears, Dick Morris. Let me ask you, Moore versus Harper, is this, this isn't a SCOTUS case, right? Where is this being held? It is.
It's,
and have they already accepted to hear it? Because I'm totally out of the loop on that.
Yes, yes, they have. It's on the docket in the fall term. And accepting to hear it means that four judges have voted to hear it, and you only need five to prevail.
Wow.
I think we'll get it. Now, let me just touch on a few other things.
Please.
I think that in my book, The Return, I make another prediction that I guess you'll want to talk about, that Hillary Clinton will be the Democratic candidate in 2024. And the reason I think that is that I think that Biden will withdraw after 22 because he'll get so badly defeated in this election that they'll come to him and say, we won't throw you out using the 25th Amendment, but we will insist that you don't run again, and he'll have to announce that he's not going to run in 24. And then in the Democratic primaries, the early caucuses and the primaries and the polls, the leftists will all be ahead because the party has moved so far to the left. You'll have Sanders, you'll have Warren, and you'll have AOC, who I predict will run. And they will have good...
Is she even 35 yet?
3 months over the deadline. Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Happy birthday. Yep. And And she and they will come hat in hand to Hillary, the Democratic Party leaders, and say, like they did in 16, please save us from Bernie Sanders. Save us from the left. And Hillary will run. And, you know, Hillary, you know, I worked with her for 20 years, never liked her, but did. Hillary always likes to advance masked and in disguise. She knows she's unpopular. She knows that she can't make it on her own advocacy. So she comes in and says, it's not that I'm running, it's that I want a woman president. Or I want someone who will balance the budget like my husband did. Or I want to stop the Sanders people from taking over the party and leading it into a ditch. And that will prevail. I think AOC or Sanders will win the primaries, but she'll win the superdelegates who are appointed, and the same fixes in 16, and she'll win the nomination, and Trump will clobber her in November.
God willing. I'll tell you what's funny. It must have been the stars were aligned that our booker, Juan, who's also producer extraordinaire and other things, booked you and Joel Gilbert on the very same day when Joel Gilbert went out on a limb to predict that Michelle Obama is going to run in 2024. And this is an example of how conservatives actually love dissent, love discussion. We don't all march in lockstep. So comment on that prediction.
Well, you know, I know Hillary, and I don't think he knows Michelle. Michelle is not likely to run, she says, and I take her at her word. But if she does, but if he does run, don't worry so much about her. She's to the left of Barack, and when she has to live down her comment that she's never been proud of America, and she'll be in favor of school segregation, blacks only. She'll be in favor of a program earmarked only for blacks. She will be in favor of teaching critical race theory in schools. She'll be in favor of all of the gender change stuff and male, female sports and all that stuff. So she'll quickly pigeonhole herself into the left-wing pigeonhole. And the affiliation with Barack has a limited shelf life. You learn that about it. That's the first thing you learn, and then everything else is downhill from there. And the Democratic Party is going to, I think, self-destruct, and I think they'll go with Michelle.
Well, there's an awful lot of powers that be outside of this country that have a lot riding on this very, frankly, evil agenda. And it sometimes it seems otherworldly, you know, that we're going to need extra help from divine sources. And you and I have at least the beginnings of the same origins, members of the tribe. So this is an astonishing election coming up, both the midterms and the election in 2024. Somebody told me there was a deal in the works already to have Ron DeSantis run as Trump's running mate, because Trump can only serve for one term, and Ron DeSantis would be the perfect successor to Trump. What do you think about that? I lost Dick Morris. Well, gosh.
Sorry, I'm back.
Oh, there
I'm
he back. Is. Hi there. We lost you for a minute.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
For a second. I'm back from your death. It's illegal. It can't happen. The Constitution says the president and the vice president cannot be from the same state.
I looked that up, and I found that. Now, see, that's interesting, because I was very specifically interested in that, and I thought I looked it up, that it doesn't apply. But obviously, we'll both have to. So you think that law is in effect? Because
if you look it up under the election procedures in the Electoral College, it says that everybody votes as an elector, but they cannot vote for two people from the same state.
Huh. I wondered about that. Very, very interesting. What do you want to leave us with? We've got about 4 minutes. Well, what do you want to leave us with?
The big thing right now is to avoid a primary fight. The Democratic strategy that I lay out in the return is the old Roman strategy of divide and conquer. And their concept is to foment primaries within the Democratic Party. That's the purpose of the January 6th committee, to try to say that Trump is so weak and so injured, right, his reputation so besmirched that he can't possibly run. Of course, he rebutted that in spades on Tuesday when he won in Arizona and Michigan, two of the key swing states. But they'll attempt to do that. And what they're doing is hyping DeSantis and saying, let's you and him fight. Because they remember when Ted Kennedy ran against Jimmy Carter in 1980, it so weakened Carter that Reagan walked in and was elected president. And they're hoping DeSantis does the same thing to Trump and that they can then get their people elected. And I would just appeal to everybody to think of a couple of things. First of all, DeSantis can't say, I did it. I did it. Trump can. Secondly, Trump has a clear record on holding down gas prices and fighting inflation, and DeSantis has not had the opportunity. And Trump has a clear record of freezing North Korea and cracking down on China and paralyzing Russia. And there's no indication that DeSantis, and certainly none that Biden can or has done that. So I think Trump deserves the vote, and I think that the efforts to foment a primary will split the party, draining Trump's resources and increase the chances of the Democrats winning. The Democrats showed their hand this year when they spent $40 million in five states trying to influence the primary, so the candidate they felt was easiest to beat got the nomination. And what they're doing now is to intervene in the Republican nominating process to push DeSantis. The other thing I'd like to say is that Maggie Hassan can be defeated and must be defeated. It's part of our path to control of the Senate. And I hope that, pronounce his name for me, Bolduc, is that right?
Bolda?
Yeah, Bolduc, the general running for Senate in New Hampshire, the special forces general.
Well, I hate to tell you, I'm in Texas. and unfortunately,
I'm
not, someone could call us. That's okay, you wouldn't
I'm
know.
Sorry. You know, I thought, excuse me.
I don't do a lot of local New Hampshire stuff, but nevertheless, go ahead, tell us.
Yeah, good. I thought the station was in New Hampshire. Am I wrong?
The station is in New Hampshire. We have many listeners in New Hampshire.
Oh,
we got about 20 seconds.
Yeah, well, Hassan, your senator in New Hampshire, can be and must be defeated, and I would urge people to pile on to do that.
One of the great things about Dick Morris, he goes local. He used to make some predictions when I used to live in Colorado. Thank you, Dick Morris, for joining us. And The Return, you can find his book anywhere. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
That about does it for us for this week. You can tune in to another episode of Spouting Off tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern. Just go to my website, KarenCataline.com. Thanks to Joel Gilbert, Dick Morris, AC, Juan, George, everyone who makes Spouting Off happen. And keep on spouting off.
WSMN.